Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the
mountains were brought forth, or ever you have formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God.
You return man to dust and say, return, O children of man.
For 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night.
You sweep them away as with a flood. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning.
In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers.
For we are brought to an end by your anger. By your wrath we are dismayed.
You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence.
For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh.
The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away.
Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you?
So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. At the elders' meeting in December, somehow the topic of death came up. I remember saying that it used to be that old people died. And then I heard about my contemporaries dying, and now it was happening even to people younger than me. The elders agreed that they had recognized the same thing in their lives as well. Somehow death becomes a much more real threat when you hear about a growing number of people your own age, and even younger than you, dying. When a person is 16 or 18 or 23, they can be lulled into a sense of immortality. They have lots of energy and have a good deal of strength and stamina. I have a feeling that's why so many mature men complain about old football injuries. Back when they thought that they were indestructible and would live forever, they weren't as careful as they might have been. When you get older, your body is likely to remind you of those kinds of facts. The truth is that a body's aches and pains, the diagnosis of an illness that will be with you for the rest of your life, and people around your age dying are all reminders that someday you are going to die, and that not necessarily in the far distant future. In the psalm this evening, unique in the Psalter in that it's attributed to Moses, the man of God, we pray, so teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. Getting or attaining a heart of wisdom is certainly a commendable goal. But how often have you considered that a heart of wisdom results from having learned to number your days? Which perhaps we can paraphrase as recognizing your mortality. If you surveyed a bunch of recent books about living wisely, what do you think the ratio would be between books that focus on financial matters or nutrition and health versus those which focus on the reality that the years of our life are 70 or even 80 by reason of strength, yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone and we fly away. if for no other reason than pursuit of sales. I doubt that there are very many books that emphasize the latter. Who wants to be reminded that death is stalking him? Moses' psalm, which we heard this evening, is a reflection on human mortality. It's not a statistic we like to consider, but in human history, death has a nearly 100% success rate. As far as we can tell, apart from the people who are still alive for now, there have been only two or three exceptions in the history of the world. Enoch, who walked with God and he was not, for God took him. Elijah, who went up in a whirlwind into heaven. And perhaps Melchizedek. There's no record in Scripture of his death, and we hear that his priesthood is an eternal priesthood. And so it might be that he also went to heaven before he died. According to Wikipedia, the oldest person alive today was born on the 4th of March in 1907, making her 116 years, 302 days old today. So far as the number of your days is concerned, to be wildly optimistic, take the 120, subtract your current age, and that's the most years you could possibly have left. More realistically, the Social Security Administration says that a man who is 65 today can expect to live on average until the age of 81.94 years. And a woman who's 65 today until the age of 84.66 years. The Lord, who is God from everlasting to everlasting, who formed the earth and the world, and has been your dwelling place in all generations, will one day say to you, "Return, O child of man, and then to dust you shall return." The cause of this is clear. We are brought to an end by the Lord's anger, Moses writes. By his wrath, we are dismayed. He writes, "You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins, in the light of your presence." The scriptures teach us that the wages of sin is death, and your payday is coming. Only a fool lives as if this were not the case, as if the Lord would not one day summon him or her, saying, "This night your soul is required of you." Reading the psalm, Moses seems to paint life as a deathward drift from mortal birth, filled with toil and trouble brought on by the wrath of God. It seems perhaps an overly pessimistic picture. But if the 40 years in the wilderness taught Moses anything, it was surely that the answer to the question, "Who considers the power of the Lord's anger and his wrath according to the fear of him?" is vanishingly small. Or as Paul writes in Romans, none, no one, not even one. If a person is rightly to consider the power of the Lord's anger and is truly conscious of his wrath, such a person wouldn't do or say or think many of the things that they do. Each and every sin that you and I commit, whether it's doing something that God has forbidden or failing to do something he's commanded we do, each and every sin you commit is evidence that your fear of God's wrath is deficient. Surely none of the pleasure or joy any of your sins in the past week have brought you begins to balance off against death and eternal punishment in hell. And that's what every single sin earns a person. That's the calculus involved in truly knowing the Lord's anger and rightly recognizing his wrath. The scriptures teach that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. With the fear of the Lord, a proper awareness of his anger at sin and a proper cognizance of his wrath, comes a right appreciation of the number of your days. And this in turn leads to a heart of wisdom. With a wise heart, you recognize that God is God, and you are not, and look to him with the humble and trusting dependence that he desires. He says very clearly, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather in their turning from their sin. A broken and contrite heart he will not despise. He wants all people to be saved. And so, although you can't do anything to atone for your sin, in mercy and love, he has. He sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Jesus' blood and righteousness suffices for you. For Jesus' sake, the Lord forgives you all your sins. You shall not die, but live and declare the praises of the Lord. For he has redeemed you by means of the holy, precious blood of his Son, has purchased and won you from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil. The eternal God, by the death and resurrection of his Son, has prepared a place for you to be with him forever. Believing in Jesus, relying on him, though you die, yet shall you live. And everyone who lives and believes in him will never die forever. Whoever comes to Jesus, he says he will never cast out. Rather, he will provide such a person rest, rest for their soul. The Lord is your dwelling place in all generations. Though sorrow, need, or death be yours, you shall not be forsaken. Nothing in all creation will be able to separate you from his love, will be able to separate you from the mercy and grace of God toward you in Jesus Christ. The fact is that you are his. He has saved you. And that's true yesterday and today and in the new year and forever. Thank God. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting. Amen.